Well, welcome. How's it going? So, thanks so much. Where did he go? Charlie, I don't know where he went. Thanks, Charlie, wherever you are. So, this summer, if you have been here, we have been walking through a series called Out of Focus. And over the last 5 weeks, we have been looking at the different areas of our life where we are seeing ourselves inaccurately. Because when we don't see ourselves the way that God sees us, we end up living into a distorted and blurred version. Did that just go off? Of who we end up living into a distorted and blurred version of who he says we are. And that doesn't just impact how we live, and how we see ourselves, but it also impacts how we see the world around us. So if you think about taking a picture on your iPhone, because I don't know who takes pictures on real phones anymore, if you take a picture and you have that little yellow box, it kind of does this like focus, unfocus thing until you finally land on what you are wanting to take a picture of. For me, that's usually my dog. Sorry for anyone who follows me on Instagram. But on Sundays, we have been spending some time focusing on these different attributes. And I think it's on Wednesdays, for those of you that are involved in the summer fam, that has helped us navigate that focus and unfocus adjustment. And honestly, we're probably always going to be in a season of doing a little bit of adjusting. But our prayer throughout this series is that the pieces of our identity that are a bit out of focus and blurred start to become just a little bit clearer. So far, and I'm not sure if you recognize this or not, we have answered two questions. The first one is, what is God's love? And David helped us answer that the first week, talking about God's love being constant. And then Christian helped the following week as he talked about where we find our worth and that idea of the lifeboat game that we can all too often find ourselves playing. And then Enrique introed the second question, how does God's love function? So do we have any math majors out there? I wasn't a math major, but I was an English major. But I wrote the answer to that in a math equation. So the function of God's love is to determine our value. And I loved how, if you guys were here, Enrique used his pottery pieces from elementary school and how his father placed so much value on them, even though to anybody else, they probably wouldn't have held much value. So tonight we begin a conversation to answer a third question, and that's, what does God want for us being involved in community? Curtis was actually supposed to be talking tonight on the community piece, and then I was going to be sharing next week on how we find ourselves out of focus as it relates to community, specifically as a result of isolating ourselves. But we had to do some swapping this week for different reasons. But I think we'll still, by the end of next week, land where we need to land. And so we're going to pray, and then we'll jump into some isolation. Dear God, thanks so much for today. Dear God, we just thank you for the summer months that just allow us a little bit more daylight and just time perhaps to be outside and enjoy your nature. And dear God, we just thank you that you have designed us to commune with you and also to be in community. And dear God, I just pray that as we talk tonight about the times where we might try to just isolate ourselves, that you would speak into that and you would reveal where things need to be revealed. And dear God, that we, that you would just move in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, my hope is to answer three questions as it relates to isolation. One, why do we isolate ourselves? Two, what have we forgotten when we isolate ourselves? And three, what happens when we isolate ourselves? So to start, we're going to go all the way to the beginning with a story of Adam and Eve. So many of us are familiar with the story. From the beginning, God's desire was not only for him to commune with Adam, but he pretty quickly created a woman to commune with Adam as well. But it didn't take long for things to get distorted. We know the story. They ate from the tree that God had clearly said, don't eat from. And then in Genesis 3:8, we read, They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, despite the fact I am an English major, I don't know for a fact if you can find hide and isolated in a thesaurus. But I do think it's safe to say that because Adam and Eve knew that they had gone against what God had commanded, they attempted to isolate themselves from him. Proverbs 18:1, in the wise words of Solomon, speaks to this isolation. 18:1 says, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom." And then another translation says it this way, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." And so we can see this in Adam and Eve's situation. Now, I realize it might be a little bit unfair because there's only two of them, but Eve isolated herself, sought her own desires, went against what God had asked. She lost the ability to navigate sound judgment or wisdom or make a better decision than to follow the temptation of the serpent. She dragged Adam into it, and then because of all of that, the two of them attempted to place themselves in isolation. So I believe a big reason we tend to isolate ourselves from community is because we internally know that we have gone against what God desires for our lives or what he has asked of us, and we simply don't know what else to do other than to attempt to hide from him and others. Whether it's a sexual sin, an addiction to gambling, or a temptation to escape in unhealthy ways, we cannot bear for the truth to be revealed, and we retreat and hide. And we have this perception that isolation looks like this, but it's not always a physical removal. We can be completely surrounded by people and still feel completely isolated. We can be with a group of friends and choose to isolate ourselves based on what we choose to say or what we choose not to say. And so another reason we isolate ourselves is because of something we fail to remember. So we're going to jump from Genesis to the New Testament, and in the Gospels, we get a glimpse of Jesus' life. And it's a look at who he spends time with that we learn what we fail to remember when we choose to isolate ourselves from community. So in Matthew 9, we find the account of the bleeding woman. And we pick up in verse 20, where it says, "And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak." 12 years. So that's pretty much your whole, like, school life prior to coming to college. And not only did this woman suffer during that time for 12 years, but also because of Jewish law, unfortunately something that in 15 minutes we can't really cover, she also had to isolate herself for 12 years. She could not be around anybody because under the law she had been deemed uncleaned, and so she lived on the outskirts of town, or in the outskirts of her community. So I fully realize 100% that this isn't an isolation due to something that she had done, to a sin issue. And I do believe this woman didn't necessarily place herself in isolation. The community placed her in isolation. But I do imagine there were times she couldn't bear to be around the lies that of who she was, and they were winning out, and that she wanted to be in isolation. And this is something I kind of call a societal isolation. And maybe tonight you're feeling isolated or perhaps choosing to isolate yourself, not because of a sin issue, but because you just don't feel accepted where you're at. Maybe you feel isolated in your relationship status because everyone else around you appears to be in a super fun relationship. Maybe you feel isolated in your convictions because it doesn't seem like anyone in your classes or in your place of work believes the same things you do. Or maybe you feel isolated in your relationship with God because you just don't seem to be connecting with God like everyone else in your engage group or body Bible study seems to be connecting. So stay with me. We're going to jump to Luke, and then we're going to talk about these situations together. So in Luke 19, we find the popular story of the very unpopular Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is known as the short, cheating tax collector who climbed a tree to see Jesus. And behold, there is a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Many believe that Zacchaeus climbed that tree because of his height, but there's also a strong possibility that it was also because the people on the streets were boxing him out and wouldn't let him into a place where he could see. He was known as a man who took more money than what he should have been taking, and so he didn't have a lot of people wanting him to be around them. And so in this instance, we have a little bit of both. We have isolation because of a sin and some wrongdoing, as well as society playing a role. So the other reason we isolate ourselves is we not only forget that God's love is constant, again, what David talked about that first week, and that God determines our worth, what Christian talked about the second week. We forget what Jesus' response is when we choose to reveal our hurts and our mess to him. So if we go all the way back to Adam and Eve, in Genesis 3:9, God's response to Adam and Eve, we read, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" So no matter how hard we try to hide, God's desire for us is to return to him, and he wants us back with him. Now, Adam and Eve had some consequences, but God also showed a great deal of care for them. And in verse 21, it reads, "The Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." In the account of the bleeding woman, after the woman touches Jesus, we pick up in verse 22, and it says, "But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, 'Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well.'" Again, like Adam and Eve, he's looking for the woman, and he's looking for you, and he sees you, and he sees you in your hurts, and he says, "Take courage." And finally, Zacchaeus. We know that when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He had gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Again, Jesus looks Zacchaeus in the eyes, and he asks him to come and be in his presence, and Jesus communes with him. So we isolate ourselves because we fail to remember who God is. We forget that he knows us, and that he sees us, that he heals and longs to fix our brokenness, that he eats with sinners, and that he wants to be in communion with us, no matter the mess and no matter the hurts we bring to the table. So the reality is, we're more than likely not going to find ourselves in the exact situations that Adam and Eve, the bleeding woman, or Zacchaeus found themselves in. But I was going to make a joke about CPAs right there, but I figured maybe not, I shouldn't do that. But the other reality is, we can just as easily find ourselves falling into a trap of isolation, whether it's because of some of the mistakes we've made, a struggle we just can't seem to shake, or because we've lost focus of our identity in him. So it would be super easy for me to isolate myself. I have this crazy job where I work full-time for NLCF, and I've worked this job for about the same time as most of you have been alive. Many of my friends are married with kids. Friends that aren't married, many of them have PhDs. And it's easy to ask myself, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? And when you ask yourself that question, you have two choices. You can choose to insert your crazy self into the midst of all of that and into the community that God has given you, or you can, too, choose to isolate yourself. Most days, I'm thankful to say that I choose option one. So what happens when we isolate ourselves? I think there's three things. We live into an identity that we are our own God. And that's a little bit hard to swallow and maybe sounds like a strong statement. But when we aren't willing to bring him into it, we are in turn communicating that we can handle it on our own. Two, we lose the ability to make sound judgments or navigate sound wisdom. Oftentimes, isolation can result into a downward spiral because we don't have anyone around us that's going to grab hold of us or speak truth to us, and we aren't seeking God either for his wisdom and truth. And finally, we miss out on communion with God and the people he has placed in our lives. Those people, community, is what Curtis will be talking about next week. So where do we go from here? I want to preface this by I don't know what is going to happen with the discussion part of this talk, because Wednesday is the 4th of July, and you guys will be watching some fireworks and not discussing isolation. So if any of these where do you go from here things hit you, just write them on your info card, and I'd be happy to connect with you or get one of the other leaders to connect with you. But the first thing I would do is reflect on the places in your life where you have isolated yourself. And those can be the sin areas that we talked about or other areas, or just places where you don't feel like you belong. And I would spend time with God and kind of hashing that out with him and also sharing with someone around you. Even if that is the hard stuff, just to confess that to someone that they might be able to walk with you through that. I'd also encourage you to read through one of the Gospels. There's four. Just choose one. And study Jesus' life and how he responded to people. I think you'll find that he often responded very similarly to the way he did the bleeding woman and Zacchaeus. And then finally, come back next week. Curtis has the community side, and I think it's important. Community is what is life-giving, and it's a better option than isolating ourselves. And so I just encourage you to come back for that. So we'll pray, and then we'll do some discussion. Dear God, thank you so much that you, again, just designed us to commune with you and to be around people. And I thank you for the people that you put in our lives in all times, in the good and the bad. And so, dear God, we just ask that you would just continue to reveal those places where we might be isolating ourselves, and dear God, that you would even show us maybe the people in our lives that are isolating themselves, that we might be able to be that hand to help pull them out. We just thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.